Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to On Deadline, a deep dive into a single topic from Odyssey's newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor for news. And today we're tackling what it's like to sail into a weekend without a functioning government. Do you need a parachute? Should we stock up on toilet paper? No. But many experts expect Americans to find out what a weekend is like without real government, as neither the Democrats or Republicans are expected to propose a bill that wins the bipartisan backing needed to end the three-day-old shutdown. Why? The GOP's talking point is that the Democrats are shutting down the government to fund free health care for unauthorized immigrants, and they won't give in to their demand. In reality, Democrats are seeking to extend Affordable Care Act subsidies set to expire at the end of the year and roll back Medicaid cuts in the law signed by President Trump in July. As the New York Times reported, unauthorized immigrants cannot buy healthcare plans on government exchanges set up by the Affordable Care Act and are also ineligible for Medicaid and Medicare. But what the Dems' proposal does do is restore the ability for legally present immigrants, including refugees and asylees, to access Medicaid, Obamacare, and Medicare coverage. Trump's budget cut that in July. Sometimes issues are more complicated than a soundbite. But that's the nut of it. For more, here's KCBS Radio in the Bay Area.
To get the latest now, we're joined live by CBS News reporter Christopher Cruz in Washington. Chris, good to talk with you. So what do we expect today, tomorrow, and then through the weekend?
Steve, I was thinking about this because I think this is my fifth or sixth shutdown. And these things always end after, you know, a few days or a few weeks. But this strikes me as something really, really different. I think the wild card here is President Trump. And I mean, when people always say that cliche, we see no end in sight, there really is no end in sight. The House Speaker Mike Johnson this morning was complaining on CBS Mornings that the Democrats are dug in. Well, the Republicans are dug in as well. I think the weakness might be that Republicans are just asking for what's called a clean CR, a clean continuing resolution that would just extend the current level of funding through about the late November so that Congress can continue to work on the budget. But at this point, Democrats feel like they have the winning hand. It's all about, as you know, controlling the narrative and leverage.
You're right. I mean, the White House is now displaying a message prominently across a number of federal websites. It says, Democrats have shut down the government. We spoke with Nancy Pelosi on KCBS yesterday. She says the correct terminology is the Republican government shutdown. What do you make of this finger pointing? Is it simply just a part of life in American politics now?
Used to be less personal. It's interesting you should ask that question because Speaker Johnson this morning, again on CBS Mornings, I felt like it was kind of a personal attack. He said that Chuck Schumer is doing this only because he's afraid of a primary challenge from either AOC or somebody else in the far left. So that's kind of sort of the edge that you really haven't seen in the past. You've seen jibes and that type of thing, but it just is, you know, like everything else, it's gotten so personal here, and that's not something that typically will happen. It's just a game of chicken, but with a real, real edge to it this time around.
So these things always eventually get settled. What will it take this time around when you look at how acrimonious, how divided it is? What's it going to take? Is it going to take air traffic controllers calling out sick?
Well, you know, that's a good point. I mean, I think it's ultimately it's what it's going to take is outside pressure. And you know, I would always say, well, each side is going to compromise because that's what they always do. But this time, I don't know that either side is going to compromise unless there are some outside influences. And the other concern on Monday, Senator Schumer said that if Republicans say, well, just trust us. We'll do this. We'll talk about these health care premiums issues later. He said, when they say later, they mean never. We have to do it now. So there is zero trust on each side.
One of the things that becomes shrouded in mystery when you don't have a functioning government is news on the economy. Here's more from the Tommy Tucker Show at WWL in New Orleans about the shutdown and the jobs report that wasn't.
Yeah, I try to look at each issue independently and try to figure out, because I am not a member of any party. I used to be an independent. Then, according to the state of Louisiana, I am no party affiliation. So I try to look at policy and issues and what's best for me, what's best for the country, what's best for me now, what will be best in the future, what's best for the country now, what will be best for that, who needs help the most, et cetera, et cetera. And I've decided, Todd Belt, professor and director of the political management program at George Washington University, decided that's too hard. I'm not going to do that anymore. It's too much work. I'm just going to pick a side, either R or D, and get in line and go along with whatever they say. That's what a lot of people do, isn't it?
Well, it is what a lot of people do. But if we look at the most recent polling on this shutdown, we've got 47% of the people blaming Republicans, 30% blaming Democrats, and 23% blaming both. So there's almost a quarter of Americans who are blaming both sides on this. So you're in good company, not necessarily taking a side on this one if that's where you want to be.
Well, it's just, I'm just saying, I'm tired of doing my own thinking. I really am, because it can be exhausting, and I guess that's what it can be, don't you think?
It is. There is so much going on, and there is so much messaging going on from both sides you have to try to keep up with and try to figure out what's actually real, what's false, what's just hyperbole. It is. It can be overwhelming.
And I can see where for a lot of people it's easier just to say, and I'm not criticizing anybody, but everybody's got lives and they got this to do and that to do. It's easier just to say, you know what, that sounds good to me. Let's go with that. They're right. The other guy's wrong, whether it's on the Republican or the Democratic side. Either way, I'm going with them and screw the other guy. But that's not the way a democracy is supposed to work, right?
Well, it's not. And when the framers designed our Constitution, they wanted us all to be, engaged and informed citizens. But I don't think that they really anticipated the tremendous, overwhelming fire hose of information about politics that we're facing every day now.
It is all about messaging, is it not? Because I think you can talk about the government shutdown, if you will, and what led to it and why the Democrats are digging their heels in. Talk about that, if you will, please. What led to this, Professor?
Yeah, absolutely. This is there's two things to this. There's the political side and then there's the policy side. And certainly Chuck Schumer took a lot of criticism from his party when he was going to shut down the government in March. The House voted with him. Jeffries in the House voted with him against it. And most of the Democrats in the Senate were behind him. Excuse me. And then he shifted his position at the very last minute. He said, I don't want to give Donald Trump too much power during a shutdown. I want to keep the government open. And then so fast forward to today, and he took a lot of flack, and his position as being the head of the Democratic Party is really in question, because a lot of people are speaking out against him, and he has decided he wants to take this stand, and this is the hill he's going to go to war on. And the things, the concessions that he wants are Obamacare subsidies continued. They're expected to expire at the end of the year. He wants to reverse some of those cuts to Medicaid that are part of the Trump's big, beautiful bill. And he wants something that will require Trump to spend the money that has been authorized by Congress. You might remember that Donald Trump has rescinded or paused the funding of some of the money that Congress has authorized on a number of different programs. And so those are the three demands. So the Democrats are forcing this shutdown because they want to get some concessions. And usually it's the side that is asking for concessions that gets the blame. And even though the polling is good for the Democrats right now, this could change pretty quickly as people start feeling some of the pain.
Why did Schumer choose this hill to wage his war upon?
I think this is because, like I said, number one, he's facing a lot of criticism from his party for not standing up to Trump, which, of course, is difficult to do when the Republicans control all three branches of government at the federal level. And secondly, healthcare is a very, very popular bipartisan issue. In our GW politics poll, we found it that when people say what government should focus on, the economy, of course, is number one. It always is. And the second is bringing down the cost of healthcare. And this, and if you ask people about should Medicare cover home, home healthcare and a bunch of different things, you get results in the 80s, 90s, and sometimes in the 70s on all these different types of things that they think government should do to help people, because healthcare costs are really high in this country, and it is a real bipartisan issue. It affects everyone. And so the Democrats think they have a winning issue here. The question is, can they talk about it and leverage some concessions in a way that is not going to backfire?
Text line, people are texting and saying, well, why didn't the Democrats just agree to this clean resolution here? And again, that being in quotation marks, this clean resolution here, and negotiate health care later. We'll talk. But if, for whatever reason, the Democrats had chosen not to shut the government down, and I hate to put it all on them, but for whatever reason, if the government had not shut down, would the Democrats be in a weaker position down the line? How many more weeks would the government have been in operation until we faced it again?
Yeah, well, if they voted for the continuing resolution, then we would have had time until, I think, about Thanksgiving to get the 12 regular order bills that fund the government passed. And they would have had time to do some more of these subsidies, but they chose now as the time to do this. This is the, I guess they thought they could get more people paying attention than if it came around Thanksgiving. So I think there were some strategic calculations going on here.
So who winds up eating this with the midterms approaching? Or does it have any effect on the midterms
I think what the effect on the midterms is really going to depend upon how this gets resolved. And I think there's a couple of different ways it gets resolved. I think one of them is that they negotiate an up-down vote on each of those three concessions that the Democrats want. And then the Democrats get the Republicans on record as having voted against the things they wanted, and they get material for the upcoming midterm elections. But generally, the midterm elections, the number one issue will be the economy. And if it's good, it'll be good for Republicans. If it's bad, it'll be bad for Republicans, because the president's party usually bears the brunt of the economic conditions as we get towards the midterm elections.
How does the public view the economy right now?
Not great. Consumer confidence is still pretty low. And in fact, one of the things that we're going to be missing is an important indicator that was supposed to be released today. The Bureau of Labor Statistics is shut down, and we were supposed to get their jobs data today. We've had better than expected growth, even though the jobs numbers in the last quarter were pretty bad. So people are worrying, are we going to get what was called stagflation, which is low growth and bad jobs numbers? But the growth has been there. The question is, are the jobs going to be there? And we just don't know because of the shutdown right now.
Both sides are blaming each other. But as any critical media consumer knows, the best way to figure out what's going on is to follow the money. KCBS asks, who does this benefit? Here's more.
As political paralysis engulfs Capitol Hill, millions will feel the consequences of the shutdown on the U.S. economy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Break it all down. We are joined live by Sonoma State University political science professor David McEwen. First of all, is there anybody out there in just the plain old world, not politicians, that actually likes a government shutdown?
I suppose that surly uncle that you see on Thanksgiving, I suppose that person might be happy about this. But one thing to pay attention to for your listeners is the degree or the number of days as this runs out. So back in 2018, 2019, there's a 35-day shutdown. What breaks that shutdown is when 10 air traffic controllers call in sick, and it harms air traffic across the United States. So the degree to which fewer TSA agents show up at SFO, the degree to which air traffic controllers start calling in sick, and that starts 10 to 14 days in, a couple weeks in, if you will, when that first paycheck is missed. At the degree to which that happens, it places additional pressures because it's affecting deeply the economy of the country as well.
You know, the last government shutdown was in 2018. It seems like we have them more often than that, even though it has been, you know, a good 7 or 8 years. What leads to these? Is it simply partisan politics?
To a certain degree, and it's the rules of the Senate. So you are correct that this kind of push to the brink, it's become a regular part of our politics. It becomes very difficult to manage. There's a difference between running for office, what you might call electioneering, and a difference with governing or actually getting the trains to run on time. It's difficult to lead and to provide consensus. Consensus is governing. Electioneering is difference, that I'm better than you or different than you. So then you look at the rules of the Senate itself. For appropriations to pass a budget or a continuing resolution, you need 60 votes. And again, sorry for the numbers here. That means you need 7 Democrats to cross over, is the reality. But to do a rescission, to have a budget adopted and then rescind that current budget, which has happened in this current session of Congress, you only need 50 votes. So you're asking Democrats to cross over, vote for a budget that then can be rescinded much more easily or clawed back. And it makes it difficult to negotiate. So that's why Democrats talk about health care and the Affordable Care Act, because by doing that, that polls really well for them. It's a place of strength for them. And that's why Donald Trump talks about crime, immigration, areas that have come down for him, but areas that he still has a trust advantage over Democrats. So these rules matter because Democrats then don't want to step and vote for something in a coalition that then can be easily thrown out in some period of time down the road. It makes it hard to negotiate as a result. So they are negotiating from, in one way, a sense of weakness, but also unsure about how to proceed moving forward. And that puts Donald Trump and Republicans in a bit of a driving seat, at least in the near term, until federal employees are missing their paychecks.
We had House Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi on KCBS about an hour ago. She made it very clear that the terminology should be, this is a Republican government shutdown. And Republicans say, no, wait. Democrats, you're the ones who voted against a measure yesterday that would have averted a shutdown. With rhetoric like that, how can the two sides find any common ground?
Yeah, it's very difficult. And then if you break it down further in polling, Democrats do get a slight advantage overall with the electorate, slicing and dicing it as Democrats, independents, and Republicans. Democrats do a little bit better overall than Republicans in the polling data for who's responsible. So Republicans are blamed more because they have the presidency in both houses on Capitol Hill. However, as it drags on, as you start to get past about 14 days, as you start to get into a month plus, then it becomes much more a pox in all your houses. One thing to remind your listeners is that, look, you also have this component where in 2018, Democrats won the House. They came back into power in that midterm election. And 2026 is President Trump's second midterm election, if you want to think of it that way. And historically, a second midterm is where you have the biggest loss. This is part of the rationale around what's going on with redistricting fights. So you can't you have to keep central, the joining of electoral politics with governing, which drags this out a bit. So this, as it goes out, and as federal employees are kicked off the rolls, as they are furloughed, for example, it moves much farther beyond Alcatraz and the Blue Angels not being around for Fleet Week, as Matt Bigler talked about. It becomes much deeper and broader, and that has big effects, even with this great divide of who's responsible for what.
Healthcare is a major negotiating point in the stalemate between the Republicans and Democrats. Our Holly Kwan reporting today that covered California members could see their premiums go up $200 a month. Is that really going to be the focal point on this? If there's going to be a settlement, they're going to have to reach some common ground on healthcare?
Okay, so Democrats poll really well on healthcare, and this is why you've seen Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi talk about this and try to lead this charge, especially on the ACA. And if you look in California and what's going to happen, if you are older and you are poor, the likelihood of not just an increase, but losing your healthcare coverage is really, really great, especially as we move out past 2028 and into the 2035 period. So as you project what's going to go on, older voters, older citizens are going to face real difficulty around healthcare. So Democrats want to push that message. But the broader component here is that they don't want to vote for something, get to that 60 votes in the Senate, and then have it rescinded at 50 votes a year from now. And so healthcare and changes in Medicare, Medicaid, the state's ability to make that up, all states, blue states and red states, it is difficult and deficient. And therefore, Democrats believe they have a winning issue. But really what is happening is the worry about voting for something that then can be rescinded. But the health care issue in rural counties in California and rural areas of the country, blue and red areas, is deep and is coming. It starts in terms of a premium increase, and then people are dropped off the rolls moving forward, especially people who are older and have less income.
And we should point out that just moments ago, a vote to end the shutdown failed in the Senate. Democrats held firm on their health care demands. So once again, Republicans are saying, see, you had a chance to end this. So it's just partisan politics, almost like a dog chasing its tail. There's no end.
Yeah, in the near term, that's true. So there, it looked like about a week ago, there was going to be a short-term deal, whether that was like a week or a 10-day period where there could be a cooling-off period and negotiations could begin. So pay very close attention to John Thune, the Senate Republican leader, the majority leader. Does Thune start to make headway on a cooling-off period that's near-term to begin negotiations that can lead to a short-term, what's called continuing resolution, or CR, that takes us into a period in December? Democrats may move on that. They haven't yet, but they may move on that to get a short-term negotiating deal to then get another deal that, say, runs through the holiday period before we get something longer. Again, they have that problem of voting for a budget and then having it rescinded. That's really the rules-breaking component that puts them in a hard place to get even to a negotiating period.
This is Ask an Expert on KCBS. We're taking a deep dive on the government shutdown with Sonoma State University political science professor David McEwen. Furloughs are common during federal shutdowns. The president is talking about not furloughs, but layoffs as a way to trim the federal payroll. Does that kind of up the ante here?
Yeah, I mean, dynamite questions first, let me say. Here's the issue. Look, budgets are a proxy for values, what a politician believes. And if you've been pushing the envelope on institutional power of the presidency, right, if you look at the last 20 or so Supreme Court decisions in which Donald Trump has been a party, he's won all 20. He's 20 for 20, which is unheard of. And not even unprecedented. I don't even know what that word is. But if you look at what is going on around this particular moment, if you're the leader of the Office of Management and Budget, Russell Vogt, if you're the author of Project 2025, Russell Vogt, and you want to push the envelope, what you want to do is furlough employees, because this court so far has allowed essentially the president to furlough workers and wait on Supreme Court decisions on relief for the parties or litigants or resolution of that case using the emergency docket, using other components of how the Supreme Court operates. They've let the executive branch do what it wants and then deal with the legal slash constitutional issues down the line.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That means that you furlough individuals and you furlough 400,000 individuals, you furlough 800,000 a day, and you start to save hundreds of millions of dollars. That's the argument you make. And you expand executive power. And by expanding executive power, you've done that in multiple arenas and you deal with the court issues later. So the court could resolve that in December or January while the furloughs hold in place, and pushing that envelope of executive power is exactly how Donald Trump has approached the presidency this second time around. And Democrats are a bit, they're not in a place to deal with that issue, especially around those workers who might even be unionized, where this administration has pushed a number of envelopes on past constitutional decisions.
Right. You talk about how the president often uses the Supreme Court kind of as his backstop. I'll do this, and then we'll see if the Supreme Court upholds
exactly.
I mean, could he do that with laying off, firing federal workers to trim the workforce and say, listen, I'm doing it. We'll see what the Supreme Court says. And in the meantime, it happens.
Not even hundreds of thousands, but potentially millions of federal employees over time. So as this drags out, he has the potential to then start upping the ante with hundreds of thousands to potentially millions of workers who then get laid off or furloughed headed into the holiday season. That has economic effects as well. And then you revisit these issues down the line with what the president can or cannot do under this furlough period, which is unclear in a constitutional way, the court visiting that down the road. So it has the potential to be quite disastrous for federal workers, even though many of them would have to be paid eventually or do their job without getting paid, like, for example, the Postal Service, TSA, the military, and so on.
What government services are most affected? Matt Bigler's been reporting on how you can't go to Alcatraz or Muir Woods is closed. But, you know, people are still going to get their mail, I guess. TSA is still working. Air traffic controllers are still working. How will most rank and file Americans most notice this shutdown? How will they be affected?
First, Social Security benefits continue. All right. So that's an important component. So people who receive Social Security will continue to receive Social Security. However, if you look at the near term, it's parks, it's elements like that that we see effects right away. But as it drags on from days into weeks, that's where the effects become magnified. So that means that you have fewer folks at SFO who are working for TSA, and that potentially can not just make for longer lines, it can shut down wings or areas of airports. So you have to have contingency plans in place if you're at SFO. In addition to that, if air traffic controllers have a sick out or start to exercise their time off that they have on the books, that can affect air traffic across the country. That has dramatic effects, not during just the holiday travel period. It has dramatic effects for airlines, for in terms of business travel, in terms of airline safety, and it has a compounding effect. So monitoring what's happening on the air traffic side is an important barometer of what's going on. And as it begins to move out, the degree to which people start to then call in sick or not show up for work, because they have to get a side gig to pay the bills because they're out a paycheck or two. The first kind of hit for this for federal workers is about 2 weeks out. So around the middle of October is an important barometer of what's going on. And if the president is laying off or furloughing people between now and the middle of October, that then is an indication that this could go longer because you're missing that paycheck period of the middle of October into the end of October and beyond. He's pushing the envelope. That'll be an important barometer.
Powerful Congressman Steve Scalise talked to WWL's Newell Normand about what it will take for both sides to come together.
Again, we're at the 12th hour or just past the 12th hour of a government shutdown, now day two. Can you give us the state of the state?
Yeah, we had a vote yesterday in the Senate on the bill that the House passed. So 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago today, we had a bill in the House to prevent a government shutdown, and it passed mostly on party line votes, unfortunately, but it went over to the Senate. And so that bill is only short term. It keeps the government open till November 21st. And obviously, you know, we have a lot of differences on the whole funding of government issue, but at least it allowed government to stay open. Nobody's held hostage while we have those negotiations. Well, of course, over in the Senate, Chuck Schumer has been very clear that he wanted a shutdown. He did not want to pass that bill. And so they've been voting on it every day. They voted yesterday. The Senate's going to vote again today. And I was with Senate leadership, Senate Leader Thune, and their leadership team yesterday. And, you know, we were talking through, and obviously, they've got the bill now, the bill that keeps reopens the government now that it's shut down. So they're going to keep bringing it up for a vote. And hopefully, you know, they got three Democrats yesterday. They need eight Democrats total to get enough votes to pass it to the president's desk. And so hopefully they get to that eight soon. Today would be great. And then we still have big issues to negotiate over, but we should not be having this kind of, you know, shut down government, you know, held hostage situation.
They want to relitigate this on and tie it and use the budget process as leverage. Is that a fair characterization?
That's fair. I mean, you know, normally when you're talking about what's called a clean continuing resolution, meaning we have differences on how we should fund government for the new fiscal year, but while we're trying to negotiate that, let's keep government funded at its current level with no changes. That's called a clean CR. So that's what we passed through the House. There's no poison pills in it. You know, it just gives us more time, two more months to keep the negotiations going. What Schumer did 2 weeks ago is filed an alternative bill. He said, no, we don't want to just keep the government open. We have a whole list of demands, and it included $1.5 trillion, $1.5 trillion in new spending, completely unrelated to anything anybody's negotiated. Plus, he also, in his bill, repealed a whole lot of the provisions of the what's called now the Working Families Tax Cut. Look, they can disagree with the results of the election from last year, and frankly, I think that's really what this is about, is that Chuck Schumer and his far-left base, it's not most mainstream Democrats, it's the far-left radicals, they want to see Chuck Schumer fighting Donald Trump. They don't know what they want him to fight over. They just want to fight with Donald Trump. Well, Trump won the election. Whether you voted for him or not, he is the president.
I'm getting a lot of texts. The rules as it relates to government shutdown have changed. People are referring back to the time of Reagan and Clinton and all of that. Actually, the rules that we play by today are different than it was then, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, the base rules go back to the 1870s of all times. But, you know, there have been some changes along the way that, frankly, have given more power to the president, whoever the president is. If you get into a government shutdown, you know, people theoretically say, oh, the power of the purse is with Congress. Well, over years, Congress has given more of that power away to the executive branch. During a shutdown, almost all of the power of the purse goes to the president, literally gets to determine. And Obama had this during the shutdown in 2013. Under President Obama, President Obama had the ability to determine, in essence, what is essential to fund and what is not. That's an enormous amount of power to give to the President of the United States, but that's the law. That's not a new law. It's an old law that's been on the books for a long time.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.